So you're scared and you're thinking that maybe we ain't that young anymore. Show a little faith, there's magic in the night. You ain't a beauty, but hey, you're alright. Oh, and that's alright with me. You can hide if you're covered and study your pain. Because the lover's lovers isn't around. Waste your summer praying and praying for a savior to rise from these streets. This
is the Quality News Network. U.S. and Iraqi sources are now painting a different picture of what happened to five U.S. soldiers who were killed in Karbala last week. Original reports said the soldiers died repelling a sneak attack, but now it appears they were abducted from the location and possibly then killed about 25 miles away. Today, Army Lieutenant General David Petraeus was confirmed by the Senate to become the commander of U.S. troops in Iraq. The vote was 81-0. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is in Iraq on a fact-finding mission along with a congressional delegation that includes Representative John Murtha. Pelosi will meet with Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. President Bush called himself the decision-maker today in response to the congressional challenge of his plan to send 21,000 more troops to Iraq. He urged lawmakers to give his strategy a chance to succeed. The president also challenged them to come up with their own ideas if they are pessimistic about his approach. Bipartisan lawmakers are supporting different non-binding resolutions which oppose the president's plan. Those resolutions are expected to go before the full Senate for a vote next week. The Washington Post reports that President Bush has authorized Iranian operatives in Iraq to be fired upon or captured by U.S. forces. Intelligence indicates that Iran is providing weapons support and training to terrorists operating inside of Iraq. In Baghdad, at a crowded animal market today, a bomb blast killed at least 15 people. Dozens were wounded. Today, the United Nations General Assembly approved a resolution that condemns Holocaust denials. 6 weeks ago, the Iranian president organized and held a conference in Tehran which questioned whether the Holocaust really occurred. The United Nations Nuclear Watchdog Agency said today that Iran will start installing 3,000 nuclear centrifuges next month. That is a key step along the way to large-scale uranium enrichment. In Lebanon today, the streets were cleared by soldiers on patrol and at checkpoints as part of the rare nighttime curfew. The past few days, there have been violent clashes between Hezbollah protesters and supporters of the Western-backed government. In southern Afghanistan today, NATO reports that an airstrike destroyed a Taliban command post and killed a suspected top militant leader. In Brussels today, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice made an appeal to U.S. allies to do more of their share in Afghanistan. The Bush administration wants NATO countries to send more money, troops, and other support. You are listening to the Quality News Network. Business news is next.
Here's good news about your money. Monterey County Bank has won the Bauer Financial 5-Star Superior Rating for financial strength and stability, making it one of the safest banks in Monterey County for your money. It's nice to know your money is in a safe place, but there are even more reasons to bank with Monterey County Bank. They now have 4 convenient locations in Carmel, Monterey, Carmel Valley, and Pacific Grove. And Monterey County Bank is the oldest locally owned bank, now celebrating its 30th anniversary serving you. Here's another important point. Local businesses have come to trust and rely on Monterey County Bank's position as the county's number one SBA small business lender. Safety, convenience, and local people you can trust. That's Monterey County Bank. Stop in at one of our 4 branches and find out why you can bank on us. Monterey County Bank, SBA preferred lender and equal housing lender, member FDIC.
A new study by the CDC finds that fewer than 4 out of 10 Americans with type 2 diabetes get the exercise ordered by their doctors. 20 million Americans suffer from diabetes. Danish scientists report that pregnant women can drink up to 3 cups of coffee a day without any negative effects. They found that moderate amounts of caffeine do not cause premature births or underweight babies. A molecular scientist in Durham, North Carolina, has come up with a way to add caffeine to baked goods such as bagels or donuts. Each pastry with a buzz has the equivalent of 2 cups of coffee without a bitter taste. In 2006, the Commerce Department reports that sales of new homes were down by the largest amount in 16 years. Prior to that, new and existing home sales broke records for 5 years in a row. Toyota reports its global production in 2006 was up 10%. Toyota produced more than 9 million vehicles worldwide, thus bringing it closer to the number one position held by rival General Motors. 20th Century Fox, which owns the Fox television network shows 24 and The Simpsons, has subpoenaed YouTube for carrying pirated versions of the shows. Fox representatives want to know who uploaded the episodes. Light Sweet Crude trading at $55.33. And on Wall Street this hour, the Dow is down 37 points, NASDAQ up 1, S&P 500 down 3. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
This is a top to a... This is a top to a, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see...
Yeah.
The numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board.
Oh.
11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
and amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
Good day, everybody. It's Saturday morning here in Australia. I reckon it's probably Friday afternoon, Friday evening where you are. And welcome aboard Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network for the closer of another week. And I got... A great reaction from yesterday's show, and I thank you all very much, because I tell you, covering the plight of the Aborigines in Australia, it just is a heart-wrenching subject for me to deal with. And my partner Gail spent the Australia Day holiday doing research on the Aboriginal legends of Dreamtime, and I think she must have sat at the computer for almost 12 straight hours. And she's got a StumbleUpon page, and you can find it at Advena, A-D-V-E-N-A, .stumbleupon.com, and you will see a series of posts just about different aspects of the Dreamtime. And I'm not even going to get into it here, because it's just, you know, it's fascinating stuff, and I would suggest going and having... a read there, and there's also just some beautiful Aboriginal images and some other things there. But anyway, on that subject, I'm not gonna fill up the show with things like that today. However, you remember yesterday I told the story about the Palm Island man whose liver was split in two, and the coroner had found that the police were responsible, and then the prosecutor just said, nah, he fell. It was a complicated fall. Well, there's been a bit of change. And I found this very interesting that this was announced on Australia Day, a public national holiday. A cleared policeman now faces death charge. A policeman will be charged over the death in custody of Aboriginal man Mulrooney Dumaji on Palm Island after a former judge rejected a finding that the case was a tragic accident. Queensland police have threatened to go on strike after the review by the former New South Wales Chief Justice Sir Lawrence Street. Senior Sergeant Chris Hurley should be charged with the manslaughter of Mr. Dumaji, whose death in 2004 sparked riots and firebombings at the police station and courthouse. Sergeant Hurley has claimed that Mr. Dumaji, 36, was found dead in a cell with broken ribs, a split liver, and a black eye, tripped on a step, and fell as he was led into the police station. But many of the island's residents refused to believe the police version and called for the government to investigate. Sir Lawrence was asked to deliver a second opinion after the Queensland Director of Public Prosecutions, Leanne Clare, found there was not enough evidence to lay charges. The Queensland Attorney General, Carrie Shine, said yesterday he accepted the findings and Sergeant Hurley would be charged probably next week. Sir Lawrence had advised me that he believes sufficient admissible evidence exists to support the institution of criminal proceedings against Senior Sergeant Chris Hurley, Mr. Shine said. Furthermore, Sir Lawrence believed a reasonable prospect of a conviction. Residents of Palm Island, whose population of 3,500 is 95% Aboriginal, were delighted at the finding yesterday, and I'm not surprised. I've always maintained that we will not be satisfied until the case comes before a judge and a jury, the mayor, Delina Foster, told the ABC. A coronial inquiry last year found that Sergeant Hurley was responsible for the death and had punched Mr. Mulrooney after falling on the floor beside him. But the Queensland Director of Public Prosecutions ruled in December that the death was caused by a complicated fall. The outcry prompted the Premier, Peter Beattie, to appoint Sir Lawrence to review the findings. Sir Lawrence visited Palm Island off Townsville last month, arriving hours after a principal witness, Patrick Bramall, 24, was found hanging from a tree. The Queensland government said it would not release Sir Lawrence's report until after the court case, but the findings should not be seen as a slight on Miss Clare. Queensland Police Commissioner Bob Atkinson said Sergeant Hurley, who was put on desk duties after the court coronial findings, has been suspended. The Queensland Union says officers were furious with the decision and warned the force could go on strike and protest. Oh, you're protesting the fact that you can't beat up and kill black people? A small win for the Aboriginal folks in Queensland, and I'm just very, very, very happy about the fact that this is going to face trial. Now, let's hope that the trial is legitimate, and I have a feeling it will have to be with all of the focus that's been put on this. I mean, this has been going on for a couple of years now, and now the next one that we need is to have some justice for young T.J. Hickey, my former neighbor who was impaled on a fence after being chased on his bicycle by the Redfern police. And I took, you know, some of you know, one of my good friends, author Anthony Lowenstein, I was on the phone with him last night, and he was at an event yesterday at the Opera House, at the Opera Bar, and he said to me, he says, you know, he said, man, he said, all these people wearing their Australian flags on their backs like Superman capes and whatnot, and, you know, he just found it somewhat offensive himself, and, you know, yeah, it's Australia Day, that's fine, you know, however, let's remember what this is all about. And I was very happy that in the news last night they covered the fact that there were marches and parades in Aboriginal communities, you know, declaring what I like to refer to it as Invasion Day. And yesterday I had to run out to the shops just to pick up a couple of bits and bobs, and I got to the checkout, and there was a brown-skinned gentleman checking me out, and I looked at him and I said, Happy Invasion Day, and you should have seen the big smile that came on up on his face, and I said, and the genocide continues. And he just looked at me with this huge smile. I turned around, and the 16-year-old young very, very nice white cashier behind me just looked at me with these huge silver dollar sized eyes, could not believe what was coming out of my mouth. But hey, you know, this is the truth, and hopefully, you know, that young man will go and have a little bit of, and maybe get a little bit more up to date on the real history of this country. And you know, enough about, you know, just enough about that. I can just, I have become so absolutely incensed by Australia and this jingoistic turn over the last few years. I actually had a look through a thread on the Sydney Morning Herald yesterday over the non-flag ban at the big day out, and it was full of people saying, you know, this country was never this jingoistic. What is going on? What is going on in this nation? And plenty of comments from people who had been living overseas and returned recently saying, you know, I think I want to get out again because my nation has changed into something I do not recognize. When I first landed here, you know, at a sporting event when the Australian national, not anthem, but song would be played, you know, the Australians would kind of mouth along with the lyrics. And, it, you know, it was kind of that idea that, that at that time, Australians understood the concept of patriotism is the last, you know, bastion of the scoundrel. Thank you, Samuel Johnson. And something has changed. And, you know, Howard's going for the dumb vote because he's in big trouble this year. So anyway, we're going to go out to our first break here, and then we're going to come back and do a couple more things and have our track of the day, which we're going to go back to doing our Delta and 1920s and 30s blues stuff. And this week we have Blind Boy Fuller, and this will be really, really fun because it's another ragtime player, and it's something that I try to be from time to time, and I just love this stuff. Stick around, folks. We got lots to get to yet here on Foxed Up today on the Head On Radio Network. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll see you on the other side.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you. What's a conversation like on Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is what it's like.
Well, let's go. Let's talk to our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear you, too. I want to remind people that the military take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when people say they're fighting for our freedom by defending the Constitution, which defines our freedoms and supposedly is there to protect them, that's what it really means. Not doing whatever this outrageous civilian leadership dictates that it does.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Conversation at its finest. weeknights Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, only at Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Foxed Up here for a Friday afternoon or Saturday morning, depending on where you reside on this beautiful blue marble that we all share and reside on. And, oh, let's see. Where are we going? Oh, I'm still waiting for a bloody page to load. Are we back at this again today? I actually got some information that my ISP is having some serious, serious problems throughout the country at the moment. With the not the direction going out from here, but the direction coming into here, and it's kind of all over the place at the moment. And they're working on it. They're working on it. So okay. I'm gonna just go on into the track of the day while I wait for that page to load. Looks like things are just being weird. Oh wait, did it come up? Did it come up? It's trying. It's trying. Oh, it's working so hard. Oh, this is a joke. All right. Okay. We've been doing a whole bunch of 20s and 30s blues folks this week. And just happens to be a particular thing that I enjoy. There's something so magical about the Delta blues guitar players and similar that I just am fascinated by, and the fact that I don't know why, I have no idea why, but so many of these guys were blind. And is that the trick to being a great finger style bluesman? You know, is it that trade off of the loss of one sense that intensifies another? And Blind Boy Fuller from the Wikipedia says, Blind Boy Fuller, born Fulton Allen, was an American blues guitarist and vocalist. Fuller was born July 10, 1907 in Wadesboro, North Carolina, and died February 13, 1941 in Durham, North Carolina. And he played a Steel National resonator guitar, and they're beautiful instruments. I've always lusted after one. Blind from birth, as a boy, Fuller learned to play the guitar and also learned from older singers the field hollers, country rags, and traditional songs and blues popular in poor rural areas. He played at informal gatherings, and as he grew older, the opportunities for a blind black man were limited. He turned to getting what employment he could as a singer and entertainer, and also begging on the streets while playing at occasional dances for pay. The style of life required moving around when city ordinances against begging were introduced in the Depression. That's nice, isn't it? He became well enough known that in 1935 he received an offer to record. Over a period of 5 years, Fuller recorded over 120 sides, and his recordings appeared on several labels. Stella's singing was rough and direct, and his lyrics explicit and uninhibited, as he drew from every aspect experiences as an underprivileged person on the streets, pawn shops, jailhouses, sicknesses, death, with an honesty that lacked sentimentality. Although he was not sophisticated, his artistry as a folk singer lay in the honesty and integrity of his self-expression. His songs contain desire, love, jealousy, disappointment, menace, and humor. Blind Boy Fuller was one of the most popular of the Piedmont blues artists that counted Reverend Gary Davis, Blind Willie McTell, who we heard from 2 days ago, and Blind Blake, who we heard on Tuesday, amongst its number. He was so popular that when he died, his protege, Brownie McGee, reluctantly began a short-lived career as Blind Boy Fuller No. 2, so that Columbia Records could cash in on his popularity. His song, Trucking My Blues Away, also gave America the famous saying, keep on trucking. He was often accompanied on harmonica by Sonny Terry. Blind Boy Fuller died from a severe bladder infection in 1942, when he was only 33 years old. Blind Boy Fuller was an expressive vocalist and masterful guitar player, best remembered for his up-tempo ragtime, Rag Mama Rag. And that is the track that we're going to hear today. And this is, you know, Robert Johnson's probably the king of all the Delta players. But for me, and this must be come from having a pianist as a mother, who was a big fan of Joplin. The guitarist that tried, you know, to recreate the feel of ragtime piano on a guitar was, it just fascinates me because it really is a completely different technique and approach to playing guitar. And, Sue in our chat room is telling me here that B.B. King has been hospitalized. Ooh. Oh, B.B. Well, he's getting on. We'll find out more about that, and we'll check up on how B.B.'s doing, and we'll talk about that on Monday. Thank you for that, Sue. So all the best of energies, and he's a diabetic, yeah. And, I mean, he's a big man. He's a very, very large man, and not just large as a musician, but just large physically. So all the best to B.B. King and his family at the moment. Without further ado, just this is one of my favorite bits of ragtime guitar, Blind Boy Fuller and Rag Mama Rag. Roll it, Agnes.
Town, had my hand, looking for a woman, ain't got no man. This is where we looking for a needle in the sand. Looking for a woman, ain't got no man, oh, rag. 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 Said do that, rag. Oh, rag. Oh, rag. Rag. Said do that, rag. Said I wouldn't have thought my gal would treat me so. Love another man stayed at my back door. Mind, mama, what you sow. You got to read this, what you sow. Oh, rag, rag now. Rag, baby. Rag, mama. Say, do that, rag. Oh, rag. Do it a long time. Rag. Say, do that, rag. Now, if you'll get you one woman, better get you two. One for your buddy, other one for you. Got me a wife and a sweetheart, too. Wife don't love my sweetheart, do all right. Rag, baby. Rag. Rag, mama. Said do that, rag. All right. Rag. Rag, baby. Said do that, rag. Rag. red ray. Said my gal hot, but I ain't raised my hand. Pistol in my pocket, blackjack in my hand. Took my gal on the willow tree. Ought to get a holly, no murder me. Oh, rag. Oh, rag. Rag now, baby. Rag. Said do that rag. Oh, rag. Oh, rag, baby. Rag then. Said do that rag. Rag now, gal.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Wad Wally and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com. A place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
The difference between what I do on my show and what all the right-wing types do on their shows is very simple. I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with me about everything or that you're going to like hearing everything I have to say, but I will guarantee you that when I say something on my show, I say it because I mean it and I believe it, and I'm not just saying it to get you riled up and to boost my ratings. No potty mouth, no trash talking, no BS, just the straight truth as I see it, because the lies may sound good for a while, but the truth is there forever. It's not always pleasant, it's not always nice, sometimes it's hard to see through all the crap, but it's there. And that's what you're going to get from me, and that's why you should listen to my show. The Cup of Joe Radio Show, Mondays and Fridays from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Native American culture has helped shape many things, from the structure of the U.S. government to the foods we eat at the dinner table. But where Indians lack presence are newsrooms. I'm Brian Bull of the Nez Perce Tribe of Idaho and a member of the Native American Journalists Association. Please go to naja.com and learn how you can join. We need people familiar with Native culture to tell our stories and set the record straight against stereotypes and misperceptions. Naja, raising the next generation of storytellers.
You can see that in Alberta, diversity is very strong. You see people from different places, from different backgrounds, and we all have learned to live together. That's why Alberta is a great place to live.
We come from different places, and we have to accept each other because our backgrounds are different, our cultures are different, and we have to understand other people.
I think that our community, being as open as it is, just gives people a chance to really enjoy interaction between different cultures and really get to know each other without making any judgments.
Trabajando juntos podemos lograr la gran diferencia en la comunidad. That it means by working together we can make a big difference in our community.
To find out how you can make a difference, visit helpmakeadifference.com. This message is brought to you by the Government of Alberta and Global Television.
On the Head On Radio Network, and that there was yesterday's track of the day, Treaty from Yathu Yindi, and fantastic stuff. And Agnes even said that she went and had a look at the video clip of that track, and yes, it's a fantastic clip, and I believe you can find that at the Yathu Yindi site, if I'm not mistaken. And I would suggest you check it out. And without further ado, let's go to the phones. Our good mate Bob from North Dakota is on the line. How you going, Bob?
Hello, my friend. You know
what's happening?
I have to make a difference with you. Okay.
Sure.
Before the Aboriginals of Australia were decimated, the Aboriginals of America were destroyed.
Oh yes, I do not doubt. I made mean, comment about that yesterday.
The greatest magical society, the greatest society that lived and breathed magic. And you were talking about something magical. That was the dream time, right?
Yes.
And the American Indian, you know, they call them Indians. They were not American Indians. They were not Indians. There was no India here for Christopher Columbus to find. He found a new continent filled with people, the most magical society that ever existed, and they destroyed it. They came here and brought their disease and their filth and their pestilence. And guess what? The Republicans are trying to revive that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's virtually parallel history, Bob. I mean, that's the thing. It's very, very similar.
Yeah.
And the one thing that makes the Australian situation a bit different, and not saying that it's necessarily worse, is that they actually had breeding out the blackness as federal policy for years.
Of course.
And it was
Hey, you come from New Jersey, right? Come Jersey? Yeah, you
Yep, I'm a Jersey boy.
You come Jersey. You're a Jersey boy, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And you know, there's a lot about New Jersey that I just dislike. And the one thing I dislike about New Jersey is all of the chemical plants and all of the filth that they spew over the Atlantic and across the Atlantic and across the globe. And New Jersey does a great deal of that. You know that, and I know it.
Oh,
because I've
no
been
doubt
there.
About it. No doubt about it.
So
I make no excuses for my home state. And what's particularly pathetic is back in the late 80s, actually throughout the 80s, when Tom Keene was our governor, he actually made great strides in cleaning up New Jersey and, in fact, passed legislation to stop New Jersey from just accepting everyone else's landfill garbage, because it used to just be barges of it. And from what I understand, that all those gains have been lost in the last few years. I mean, there was a time when the population of New Jersey and the New Jersey government actually took great steps in saying, you know what, we're tired of being the cesspool of America.
Yeah, absolutely. See, John, that's what I love about you. You are informed and you are wise. Wise beyond your years. I mean, it took me a lot of years before I became intelligent. And then a few more years until I understood what was going on. And now we are in a battle. We have to fight for our planet like you're doing. And many, many others. I mean, hundreds of thousands, or if not, I pray to God, millions are fighting to save this little blue ball that mm-hmm. just spins around in space. And we are on it. We're just...
And Bob, I'll tell you what was kind of, you know, for all my complaining about Australia Day, one of the actual highlights of Australia Day was every year on Australia Day, the Australian of the Year is announced. And, you know, too often it ends up being some sports personality or some garbage like that. But this year it's a Mr. Flannery who is a rabid environmentalist. And in fact, he thinks that Johnny Howard's lack of environmental policy is an absolute shambles. And it was very, very interesting and enjoyable to watch Johnny Howard have to hand the award to him in front of the Canberra Capitol building last night. It was a very enjoyable thing. And I think that this is again going to raise the issue to another level over this year, because he basically is saying that, you know, we have waited too long. He does not agree with nuclear power plants for Australia. He does think there's room for it in certain areas where geothermal isn't viable and some other things. And I don't necessarily agree with all that. but he is very outspoken, he's very well learned, and he will, again, because I have to give credit to a little bit of credit to Australia on the environmental thing. It really has come to the forefront over the last few months, so you know, hopefully we'll make some real strides.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's all good and excellent and all that wonderful stuff, and we're all being wonderful right now, John. But, John, we're in a battle, damn it.
Yeah.
Realize that. It's not... It doesn't matter how many awards somebody gets for being in your face or being snotty or just telling you the truth. You know, the one thing I love about Head On Network is you tell the truth.
Just real quick, Bob. The importance of the of him being given this honor is the fact that he will now, for the next 12 months, have virtually open media time because of this award. He will end up having lots of face time on television.
In Australia, John. In Australia, not across the globe, and we need to speak about this globe and everything we're doing in Iraq, Iran, in Saudi Arabia, everywhere that we are poisoning this planet. We have to talk about it. We really have to talk about what we're doing to this wonderful, beautiful thing they call Gaia, okay? Mother Earth. And what we're doing to her and what we're doing to her is unspeakable. You are killing your mother when you fuel up your SUV to drive down the interstate. You're killing your mother. So stop killing her and give her the sustenance she needs and the love that you and the respect that you should give her.
Absolutely, mate. And this is where, you know, the Native Americans and the Aboriginals, in my mind, are truly the advanced societies because they understand that concept of that the planet is our mother.
We're being beeped, you know. I'm hearing beep and bump and bump on the line right now because, you know what, we're speaking the truth, my friend. And John Fox, down there in Australia, I would love to sit down in the morning and have a cup of coffee with you, and maybe a poached egg, and maybe a piece of a strip of ham, and a little bit of that pork. You know, whenever you eat a pig, you're doing something for the planet because you're eating a piglet. And every time I sit down and have me a poached egg and a slice of ham, I'm eating a pig, and I'm just enjoying eating the flesh of a pig and turning it into what it really deserves to be turned into. Because later on in the day, I go to the biffy, to the potty, and I dump that pig down the drain, and that pig has been turned into, I will not say the word on your program.
Because, hello? Oh, we're back. Sorry about that, Bob. I lost you for a second. My connection dropped for a split second, but, we will have that cup of coffee one day.
I won't say it in English, but I'll say, I will turn them into what I love to turn piglets into. Shite. Okay, that's a German word, and it's the same thing as shite.
Yep.
It's
absolutely,
the same
man.
Thing, and hey, it's allowed on the air because it hasn't been it has not been outlawed by the what do you call them, the FDA or whatever they are.
That FCC, or I like to call them the FUCC. That music is telling me that I got to go to a break there, Bob. Thanks for ringing in. And you're absolutely right about the Native Americans. It's the same situation as we have here with the Aboriginals.
All the best to you.
Will have that cup of coffee. And we got to, Agnes is pushing me out the door. So we'll be right back here after this break on the Head On Radio Network. Yeah.
the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop. Right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
We are taking to the streets, sidewalks, paths, and parks across Canada in support of ALS research and to raise money to provide quality care for the thousands of Canadians living with ALS and their families. Please join us. Walk for ALS is a fun, family-friendly event occurring in more than 60 communities across Canada. We are walking because ALS is a devastating disease. The average life expectancy is only 2 to 5 years.
We are walking because every day 2 to 3 Canadians die from ALS.
We are walking to provide hope.
We are walking for those who can't. Most people with ALS will lose the use of their legs in the first 2 years of the disease. What would you do while you still could? For more information or to register for the Walk for ALS, visit www.als.ca/walkforALS.
And the only tool who was one of the headliners at yesterday's big day out, and I cannot wait to get a report from Mr. B1 Louder himself, Scott, on how the Toolmeisters were yesterday, because I just totally dig that band, and you all know that because I blather on about it on a regular basis. Now I'm still having issues with my net connection over here as far as being able to see and load pages, but we're going to see what we can do here. And ooh, I got one to load. Wow. Okay, here we go. This was out of the from Peter Hatcher, political editor of the City Morning Herald. On the brink of climate disaster. And it says here, global warming has accelerated and the carbon emitted this century will continue to warm the earth for more than 1,000 years, according to the scientific advice commissioned by the world's governments. Officials from about 180 governments, including Australia, will meet in Paris next week for the first intergovernmental panel on climate change in 6 years. Confidential research to the meeting predicts rainfall will increase in the tropics over the century, but it is likely rainfall will diminish in the regions near the tropics, which includes most of the inhabited parts of Australia. The reductions in rainfall due to global warming could be as much as 20% under some of the scenarios the working group finds plausible. The updated expert scientific advice for the meeting is considerably more confident than global warming, considerably more confident that global warming is caused by man-made emissions of greenhouse gases. The best assessment for the last climate change panel meeting put the likelihood at more than 66% that human activity was to blame, but the scientists now assert it is more than 90% likelihood, say sources familiar with the confidential advice. The likelihood of a continuing global trend to more warm days and fewer cold ones is rated greater than 99%. Hello, hello. Research on the physical science of climate change prepared by 49 of the foremost experts finds warming caused by carbon emissions increased by 20% in the past 10 years, the fastest in at least 500 years. The scientists predict that the average global temperatures will rise by 0.2 degrees in each of the next two decades, double the rate of warming that could have occurred if greenhouse outputs had been stabilized at 2000 levels. The advice to the governments say man-made carbon dioxide emissions already underway in the 21st century, even if they were to cease at the end of the century, will continue to exert a warming effect for more than 1,000 years because it takes time for the gas to leave the Earth. Meanwhile, the Prime Minister John Howard yesterday brushed off an accusation from the Australian of the Year, Tim Flannery, that his government had dragged the climate change chain. Mr. Howard said he was not bowled over by some of the doomsday scenarios. Pull your head out of your ass, Johnny. Pull your head out of your ass and stop taking all that coal money. Among other effects, the scientists predict that the sea ice will shrink in the Arctic and Antarctic under all plausible scenarios. Extremes including heat waves will continue to become more frequent and snow cover will contract. There are projected to be fewer tropical cyclones, but their intensity will grow. In a projection less troubling than the previous report, the scientists now believe the rise in the sea level will be smaller. The scientists are uncertain of the strength of the feedback effects that will accompany global warming, that is, the propensity to self-perpetuation. The findings will be the basis for debate and negotiations over measures governments might take to address global warming. And, and I saw an interview with Flannery yesterday, and he was asked by the interviewer on the 7:30 report whether or not, you know, how much did it mean that Australia had not signed on to Kyoto, and he felt that it was crucial. And the reason that it was crucial is if Australia had signed on, it would have left the United States all out on its lonesome. And that would have put more pressure sooner on the United States, who is the number one polluter, and Australia is the number one polluter per capita on the planet. So our two worst offenders on two separate gauges have continued to not want to play ball. And, you know, it's obvious to those of us that have been paying close attention over the last few years. And, I mean, I even consider myself having been slow on all this. So, here's a story that I found really, really cool, if I can get it to pop up here. As the emails come in, my producer and our Susan, our blogger, has been doing a great job here, just cutting and pasting things for me because, well, the net here, as far as pages, is a little bit lacking, and I'm trying to find this one. Okay, not finding that particular one, but. Coming up later this later next month, towards the end of February, the city of Sydney is going to shut its lights off for 1 hour. And this is an interesting little move. The idea is that by shutting down the city's exterior lights, and they're asking for residents to do this, businesses are going to do it. They're actually going to do this down in the city, shut down all the street lights, all that stuff, for 1 hour. And they reckon that 1 hour can reduce carbon emissions by 5%. just by shutting all this down. And there are going to be a whole bunch of people, and I think of children especially, who live around the city, who are actually going to see the stars for the first time in their life. I mean, really, really see the sky at night without light pollution contrasting out most of the heavens. And it's just absolutely, absolutely, I think it's a very, very bold statement to make. And the Sydney Lord Mayor, Clover Moore, is all behind this. And she's a pretty, pretty cool lady. She was the mayor of South Sydney when I lived there. And she's a very, very tough cookie. And the two councils were combined a couple years ago, and she won hands down in that runoff election. And she's done quite well for this city, and she has great concerns for the environment and the fact that if you live in northern Sydney, up north of the bridge, Sydney now looks very, very similar to Los Angeles from a distance, with that brown pea soup dome sitting over the top. So, folks, thank you so much. It's been a big week. Thank you to Guy James. What a program today. I was just transfixed, as I was prepping my show today, and I just think it was a really, really great focus that he had today on healthcare issues. We don't talk about this enough in America. You know, I live in a place where we do have still the remnants of universal healthcare. Johnny Howard and the drug companies are working very hard to destroy it. But there still is the ability to, just go to the doctor with your Medicare card and get examined for nothing with a participating physician and get discounted meds. Now, this is all kind of changing, but hopefully we'll be able to get Howard out of office this year and try and repair the damage done. And my apologies to our caller Bob earlier. The line cut in and out. I got dropped for a moment, so I apologize for the unceremonious exit there, my friend. You were so absolutely right taking bringing up the plight of the Native American, and I do think that I actually I did get into that a little bit yesterday. However, I think the United States has grown up a bit more than Australia has, and in general, the American public does understand what happened to them, and the thing about Australia is that it never stopped. So, folks, real quick, the credits. Agnes, thank you so much for your production talents today, and thank you to Susan and for getting me some of my stories to me when I couldn't get pages to load, and to our mods who take care of the chat room. Hello, chat room. Thank you to Scott Berry at B1 Larrator Productions for all the music. Ben Birch at White Rose is still having his fundraiser. Go over there, do the right thing, drop him a dime. And coming up next, Bob Kincaid to round out the week, and after that, Mr. Jeff Allen Wolf, our new guy, and just as we say here, folks, be good, be green. We'll see you on Monday. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f***. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics,
If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics.
This is the Quality News Network. There's a new commander of U.S. troops in Iraq. Today, Army Lieutenant General David Petraeus was confirmed unanimously by the Senate. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is in Iraq on a weekend fact-finding mission, along with a congressional delegation that includes Representatives John Murtha, Tom Lantos, and Ike Skelton. Pelosi met with Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. The entourage will be back in Washington on Monday. President Bush, meantime, called himself the decision-maker today in response to the congressional challenge of his plan to send 21,000 more troops to Iraq. He urged lawmakers to give his strategy a chance to succeed. Bipartisan lawmakers are supporting different non-binding resolutions which oppose the president's plan to send the troops there to Iraq. The non-binding resolutions expected to come before the full Senate for a vote. That's next week. Today, Defense Secretary Robert Gates said those congressional resolutions undercut U.S. commanders and embolden the enemy in Iraq. It was his first news conference since he became defense secretary. Tens of thousands of Americans are arriving in the nation's capital for tomorrow's anti-war protest, a coalition of various groups lobbying lawmakers who will vote soon on the Senate's Iraq resolution. U.S. and Iraqi sources are now painting a different picture of what happened to five U.S. soldiers who were killed in Karbala last week. Original reports said the soldiers died repelling a sneak attack, but now it appears they, four out of the five soldiers, were abducted from the location and possibly then killed about 25 miles away. In Baghdad today, at a crowded animal market, a bomb blast killed at least 15 people. Dozens more were wounded. The White House has confirmed a Washington Post report that President Bush has authorized U.S. forces to fire upon or capture Iranian operatives in Iraq. Intelligence indicates that Iran is providing weapons support and training to terrorists operating inside of Iraq. In Lebanon today, the streets were